Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome everyone to another edition of The Gentleman's Look. We have on the line with us Dennis Styles, and today we're going to talk about something that will be great for the summer, and that is how you can get casual and wear sneakers with a suit. Dennis, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just got back from DC. We had a nice time. Had a big photo shoot out there with you and some other gentlemen that we connected with. Feeling good. Life's good, brother.
Yeah, man. You know, shout out to you for coming, stopping by to DC to check us out. We had a great time, man. It was actually, the photo shoot started around 6 and it just went on all the way down to the jazz spot that we went to that same night. Good times.
Yeah, that was a long day of shooting, but I think it'll be well worth it. Hopefully everybody enjoys the content we got.
Well, man, we have an amazing subject today, which is something that I actually featured on that particular photo shoot, Rich, which is how to style your suits with sneakers.
Yeah, I see a lot of guys talking about doing it, but a lot of people aren't pulling the trigger on it. I think they're nervous. Can you help us out?
Yeah, man. The first thing is you must get fresh white sneakers. Fresh white sneakers are hard to maintain, but if you wear them, if you take care of them well, they're going to benefit you to any outfit, especially a suit. Now, the way I like to style my sneakers with suits is, first off, you have to look at the texture of the suit. Cotton is always good. Cotton and linen is always good with sneakers because it complements the season. Also, it kind of goes well for the when you're not wearing any socks. So to go sockless is always good.
All right, so the first step is white sneakers with no-show socks. You can't wear some Jordans with basketball socks.
Nah, no high tops. The sneakers have to. That's funny, man. The sneakers. You gotta put the MJs away, man.
All right. So what are some white sneakers you recommend? What's gonna look good? Just go ahead, name drop.
Paul Smith white sneakers, the Adidas. Me personally, I like Pumas, Adidas, casual Nikes, stuff like that, man. Brands doesn't really matter when it comes to sneakers. As much as mostly the style of the sneaker, make sure there's not too much going on with the sneakers. Let it just complement the suit.
Okay, so yeah, just a nice, plain, low-profile look, something sleek.
Number two is you must have your pants hemmed above your ankles, because that's what, you cannot have pants dragging on top of the sneakers, so that's a no-go. So your suit has to be tailored perfectly on the bottom. It's got to be some ankle showing, skin showing. It's got to be a slim suit. It's got to be a suit where you're not necessarily wearing a belt.
A lot of times when you're wearing a suit, like a business suit, for instance, that's something I wear a lot. So you will have a little slight break in the pants. But you're saying for this look, no break.
The higher the better.
The higher the better. Okay.
Yeah, no breaks.
No breaks. Everybody got that? And a slim fit. So you can't have... This won't work with a business suit, will it? Like a British cut?
Not per se, but you're able to pull it off, you know? You could actually also wear it with a nice blue suit, but the thing is you have to separate suits, you know? You have suits for work, and then you have suits that you want to just go around town in during the day and wear with your sneakers.
You know what? I like that tip right there. That's great because you're right. Everybody thinks, oh, it's a suit. No, but different suits serve different purposes.
Wow. The tailor is gonna have to hem that differently than your basic business work suits.
Okay, yeah. So if you're taking care of business, you might have a business suit. Sometimes you have a real formal suit that you wear to a formal event. And then, like you said, you have your casual suits out of cotton or linen. Perfect for the summer. Now, let me ask you, what kind of shirt can go with this?
Just break out the white shirts, blue shirts, open collar. You know, you don't necessarily have to wear a tie. If you do want to wear a tie, wear a fun tie, knit tie, floral tie, something that's not so serious.
Okay, perfect. I'm starting to see a trend here. It's looking like you're painting a good picture for the audience so that they totally understand how to pull this look off. Now, if somebody hasn't done this before and they're a little bit nervous to try it, what advice would you give them to nudge them to go ahead and try this?
First thing you have to do is just buy the suit. Sneakers, white sneakers, you can get anywhere. Buy the suit. Buy a nice cotton or seersucker suit and tailor it differently. You know, make sure that everything is proportioned. The sleeves, the arm sleeves all have to be a little bit above too, man. Same thing as the bottom of your pants. The sleeves has to be a little bit above. Make it more creative, you know, more fashion forward than your regular basic suits. Get rid of the belt. Just tuck in the white woven shirt and you're good to go.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, I heard when you're wearing a suit and you want to make sure that your suit fits right, that you know your pants fit correctly if you don't actually need a belt to hold your pants up. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That actually is how I feel when I wear a belt. It's real comfortable, man. So I'm starting to do that more often, to be honest with you, man.
Okay.
You know, it gives it like, you know, I'm a little bit cooler than the next guy type of look.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what about you, Rich? Do you own any cotton suits at the moment?
At the moment, I only have a few cotton blazers and linen blazers. I don't have a full suit yet, so maybe I'll have to do that this summer and see how cool I can be. I don't know if I can pull it off, Dennis. You think I can do it?
I think you could, man. You got that swag too, man. I see you. Yo, look at it this way. Wear your sneakers like if you're wearing a suit with penny loafers, just like the ones you had at the photo shoot, man.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm used to going sockless anyway, so.
Exactly. Just wear the sneakers the same way you wear with the penny loafers. Penny loafers is actually an extension of a sneaker. You know, that's another shoe that you could get creative with.
Yeah, I could see that, especially for the summertime. That'd be great, too. Now, how about a T-shirt? Could you do a T-shirt underneath this suit?
Yes. Buy a T-shirt a little bit a larger size than you wear. If you wear a small, get it a medium. If you wear a medium, get it large. The reason why I say that is there's nothing more classic than a nice printed T-shirt tucked in a summer suit with some fresh white sneakers.
Yeah, why do you need the size to go up a little bit, though? Could you elaborate on that?
Because the length of the T-shirt, I want my customer to be able to, or my client to be able to wear it tucked in. So they're going to, it's kind of like to offset the fact that you're not wearing a dress shirt.
Okay, so you don't want it untucked.
Nah. It's too conventional, you know what I mean? It's too like, okay, I have sneakers, then I'm just going to let everything go to hell.
Right, so having it tucked in, you still look presentable, you still look dapper.
Exactly. So it's kind of like a balance of the two, you know, that's what fashion is. You know, you give one, you take one.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Now, we've already got everything pretty much set up, but let's put on the finishing touches for this look. How do you finish off this look? What are some of the things that take this look over the top?
Floral. Some of the best floral out right now, you can actually find it in the Harrison Lake Apparel Collection, which is, you know, when it comes to accessories, one of my go-to stores that I like to shop online in. They have an assortment of floral. Now, you don't necessarily have to get a floral tie, just floral pocket square. That's it. If you want to go with a pin, you could do both.
All right, cool. And thank you. What about bracelets, hats, anything like that?
Oh, bracelets, rings, hats too, man. Amazing hats go well with summer suits because you're able to kind of like, you know how when you buy a hat, you want to be able to put the accessories on it, like feathers or regular pins? You could definitely do that. Just picture a nice, you know, hat, cotton suit, and fresh white sneakers, man. You're gonna steal the show there with that look.
Yeah, no, I'm starting to see it now, but I was just curious because a lot of people might say, won't the hat make it look too formal if I have on sneakers? What do you say to that?
No, it depends on how you're getting. You could get a Panama hat.
Oh, there you go.
It doesn't have to be such as, you know, a different type of hat, summer hat.
Perfect. You could even probably do a dad cap, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is where the dad cap comes in, too. You know, a lot of people think, okay, let me wear my dad cap, and then the rest of the outfit just falls in line with the dad cap. No, man. That cap has to be styled, too.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense what you're saying. Let me go ahead and recap this for everybody listening so we make sure we don't miss anything. When you want to do the sneakers with the suit, you want the white sneakers with not a lot of writing and things on them. A tailored look, right, with the suit. Cotton or linen, you can go ahead with no belt for extra style points.
And if you want to straight away from the cotton, you can also get a blue suit. Make sure it's a little bit of a lighter royal blue, something more fun, not a typical dark blue.
Okay, not navy
white
blue.
Sneakers, gray sneakers, it's gonna be on point.
All right, perfect. And also, don't forget, guys, you can wear the T-shirt, tuck that in, and accentuate the look with a hat or a pocket square or a floral tie.
Where do you get all these floral ties from?
Oh, man, you know they can get them at Harrison Blake Apparel, but I don't want to toot my own horn, but we do have a lot of nice floral for this season. So everybody get a chance to check that out. And maybe you can pull off this summer look like Dennis.
Yeah, shout out to your store, by the way. I saw some of your new product for the next season, for the summer. It's crazy, man.
Hey, really appreciate it. And thank you for these tips, because it's about to get really hot outside and we don't want to just start throwing on the t-shirts and shorts. We can still step our style up all season long.
All right, man. Glad to be on board. Another week of expressing my fashion tips and my fashion do's and don'ts.
Yeah. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the segment that we like to call The Gentleman's News, where we interview special guests. And today is no different from any other day. Joining us on the line, this gentleman will be inspiring us, and hopefully you have a chance to go on his website and learn more information about what he does. I would like to welcome to the show Mercedes Fuller. How's it going today?
I'm good, sir. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that we could connect and make this interview happen. Definitely happy to have you on the show.
I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Hey, Mercedes, let's open up and just give everyone a little bit of background about yourself, where you're from, and how you got into this arena of motivation and speaking.
Born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. Texas native. If you can't tell by my voice, there's a little southern twang to it. But I am a motivational speaker and life coach. And one of the things that I tell people, you know, when we look past accolades, when we look past, you know, bios, The biggest thing that I tell people that I am is a servant. I am a servant of people, and my mission has always been to make sure that whoever it is that I work with, I get to see them in some sense move to the next level in either their life or their desired place or desired endeavor. And so what I decided to do is just live that as my purpose, but also do it for my profession. So I spend my days coaching others, working with small businesses, organizations, and individuals, and now writing books. That same coaching that I do, the same inspirational speaking that I do, I wanted to put that in book format so that I can share that with the masses for time to come. So that's a little bit about me. And like I said, in Texas, but I am not limited to Texas. I'm traveling all over at various times throughout the year.
Yeah, that sounds like an exciting lifestyle, actually, because you probably get to reach out to and meet a lot of different type of individuals from all walks of life, don't you?
Yes, and I love it. I guess I get to say that I'm really, truly a people person. I love people. I love interacting with people. And I love learning from people. And so in my work, not only do I get to teach, not only do I get to train, but I get to learn. I believe that I'm a student of life. And so in everything that I do, I try to glean a lesson from it myself. So, and I get that from meeting different types of people.
Yeah, that's great. It's funny because we've had a few life coaches on or motivational speakers, and you always have that upbeat, positive attitude. So I'm probably guessing that from an early age or some time ago, you got involved in probably listening to motivational messages yourself. Who would be some of your inspirations or people who inspired you to follow this course of action?
Well, definitely. You know, my grandfather made it a habit. Whenever I went to his house, I went to his house daily. He would make it a habit for me to do a few things. He would put me in front of CNN and C-SPAN, and he would make sure that I was in tune with political events and current events that were taking place. But he also exposed me to great speakers. And my parents made sure that if there was ever anyone that I could glean some knowledge from, they made sure that I was sitting at their feet or making sure that I was able to hear great people. So from an early age, I was listening to people like Johnny Cochran, and I was listening to people like Oprah and T.D. Jakes and Les Brown, and just so many different speakers and so many different personalities. But I didn't limit it to the spiritual realm or the corporate realm. I tried to find great speakers, great innovators in various different fields, and you can take different things from different people. And I always tell people, get some nuggets and some jewels and put them in your box, in your toolbox, from different people, and then it turns into this great gift that you have to offer the masses. So I've listened to people that, you know, have recognition, but also those untapped heroes that are in, you know, small communities, small towns, that might be a leader in their time and in their own right. I've listened to all of them, and also I listen to people that you wouldn't expect to listen to. So I listen to children. I learn a lot from, you know, how children think these days and what types of messages they anticipate receiving and all of that. And you just put it all together and it turns into this upbeat kind of rhythm that you live. And I think you are what you feed yourself to be. So I've always made sure that I've had some form of positive energy going in my ear, and that I've also surrounded myself by people with positive energy as well.
Yeah, it seems like your upbringing really did help, and that's yeah. Awesome because, yeah, that gives you a leg up, it seems like, in life. So that's always
Absolutely.
Good to hear. Now, what does the way that you are presenting or the way that you coach people, how does that really translate over to those wanting to live the life of a gentleman, per se? Do you think there's a correlation between those two sides of the coin?
Without a shadow of a doubt. One of the things that I was always taught is, as a gentleman, what you see is what you'll be. And so a lot of times when I go back and I give credit to people who have made a tremendous impact in my life, I can never forget the great men and great leaders that have invested in me. It's made a difference, you know, being able to see men in leadership and being able to see gentlemen treat women with respect and treat others and with respect, and also be the trendsetters and the leaders in their community. So I definitely think there's a correlation. And so my beliefs and what I teach and train others, it resembles how I was taught. So the great leaders and the great men that have invested in me, you know, the very same methods that they would use to teach me is what I'm using to teach and share with others. So there's definitely a correlation in what I do with what I've seen growing up and how people invested in me.
Yeah, that's great, because I was thinking the same thing, that they're definitely are related in a lot of ways. But another thing that often I think about is, what is the most needed thing that you're seeing, especially with the youth, younger ones that need guidance? You know, what do you think they need most these days?
I think there are a number of different things that I would say are hot button focal points that should be taking place, but identity is one of the major things that a number of people, including youth, are struggling with or not aware of. And, you know, with that, when you think about identity, with that comes purpose, and with that comes your mission in life, and with that comes how you handle and conduct yourself in life. So I think that's one of the major things that we really have to focus on, is true identity, living life authentically, being your best self, but also making all of that add up and correlate to your purpose and how people view you based on how you present yourself. So I think that's really an important thing that we should spend time at all levels focusing on, but really and truly it's something that we should spend time talking to our youth about, because if they know their worth and if they make others kind of aware of their worth, I think a lot of the issues that we're facing these days will eventually dissolve just a little bit if people are truly aware of their worth and how they should conduct themselves. So I think that's one of the major things that we should be focusing on these days.
Yeah, that's a great answer, because it's true. Everything you said, you know, I was just sitting here nodding my head in agreement right along with you while you were talking. But just to switch up just a little bit, when you first came on, you mentioned writing a book. And so we'd like to hear a little bit more about this book. Is it in the works now, or when can we expect it? Give us a little more information about this so we can support you.
I want you to know that I'm at this place where every day I have this major sigh of relief. I am completely done with the book. It is in print right now. So in about 3 weeks, it will be up and available. So my official release date is May 15th, where it can be purchased through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the other outlets. But I tell you this, my book is called While You Were Out From Work. And this book, I wanted to write for any and everyone that's in a life transition mode, a life transition, career transition, moving from job to the entrepreneurial realm. I wanted to write with all of those various scenarios in mind. And the reason why I chose that particular title and this topic is because when you think about it, we all have 24 hours in a day. And although we have 24 hours in a day, we'll use these 24 hours so many different ways. And how we use and how we spend our time, it has an effect on the results that we see in our lives and the places that we can go in our lives. So I wanted to write a book to inspire people to actually do their good work in life. A lot of people are going to jobs day in and day out, and some people are not satisfied with their jobs because it prevents them from doing their life's work or serving what they feel is their purpose. So I wanted to write a book of inspiration that will inspire others to actually take some of your off time and try to find ways to build the momentum to get you closer to doing the work that you desire to do in your life, as opposed to just doing the work that you have to do just to make a living. I advocate for people that are the hardworking people that have taken jobs to meet their needs, but I also advocate for those same people to be able to experience gratifying work that will fuel their heart and their soul and help them eventually live out their life's dreams and desires.
Yeah, that seems like that's going to be a really beneficial book for a lot of people, because everybody we know is definitely going through something. If you're not going through something, then you just came out of something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Let us know, is there a way that we can hear from you kind of on a regular basis? I know a lot of speakers, they have little tips or videos that people can follow and be inspired, because, you know, if you don't take in positive messages just about every day, your mentality is going to shift into a negative space. So how can people keep up with you and see what you're doing and hear a message from you? Is there social media or things like that?
Absolutely. So all of that, the social media, the website, I am revamping it all. So as of right now, you can go to MercedesFuller.com and you'll see the transition while it's taking place. But I do something that I call Moving Forward with Mercedes, and that'll be relaunching here pretty soon, where I give 30 seconds to a minute of inspiration routinely. Me and my team, we're working very hard so that I can produce bi-weekly blogs to keep people inspired. The same work that I'm doing, be it with my clients, the same work that I'm doing if I'm on a stage, or the same work that I'm doing in books, I'm bringing it to an everyday format so that people can always stay in contact with me, but also kind of follow some of the things that I'm doing. So definitely MercedesFuller.com will be the hub where people will be able to go, and then you'll see some of these other products as they're manifesting over time.
Oh, that sounds great. We'll definitely check in on that, because, you know, I saw a couple of the Moving Forward videos. And, you know, the thing that I liked about them is, like you said, they're only about 30 seconds to a minute long. And that's perfect, because people are on the go, short attention spans. So I love that concept.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And the last question I wanted to ask before we round out is, what does living the life of a gentleman mean to you, Mercedes?
I believe to me, living the life of a gentleman is like my father taught me when I was growing up. He said, live your life as if you are being recorded in audio and video. So giving people not only something good to see, not only speaking with clarity, but letting your words resonate with purpose, but also letting your life make a statement that you stand for something and that you respect not only yourself, but you respect others. Living the life of a gentleman to me also means that I give young men an example to see, but I give older men an example of what they've invested in, something that they can appreciate. For older women, for mature women, when they look at me, I expect for them to say, this is a young man that I would like my daughter to eventually end up with, or this is someone that I could trust to be in the presence of those that I care about. And young ladies, when they look at me, one thing that I expect for them to see is, this is what I would like to align myself up with. I would like a man to respect me like Mercedes Fuller does, or I would like my friends to kind of be in alignment with his thoughts and his teaching and his way of life. So basically what that means is, being a man and a gentleman means you're living for something. You're living not only for yourself, but you're living for others to see and benefit from what you do as a gentleman. You know, the definition of a gentleman is so multi-layer, but it's living your best life so that others can see and respect what it is that you do. I think that's the best definition, because I could go on for days about this particular topic.
No, we really appreciate how you laid that out for us. And once again, we want to thank you for joining us on the show today. And hopefully in the future, we could have you come back on when the book comes out and update us about some other things that you have going on. We really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the opportunity. I've enjoyed myself, and I look forward to following up with you in the future.
Sounds good. Until next time, take care.
And now it's time for A Woman's Touch. This is to give listeners tips on etiquette and men's fashion from an etiquette and manners expert. Since good manners and etiquette is timeless, these tips will definitely help you achieve the gentleman's code. So now, this is A Woman's Touch, only on The Life of a Gentleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another segment of A Woman's Touch. This is a segment where we get a woman's point of view and talk about a subject and get some advice that all us gentlemen can use. We have on the line with us Deandra Marie. How's it going today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing pretty good. It's getting to be my favorite time of the year, where the weather is nice.
Summer.
Yeah. I love summertime. I can be outside. It's where I feel like I belong. Outside, outdoors. So, doing good.
Oh, well, that's great. I hope you have started to enjoy a little of the weather that we've been getting. So,
yeah, any excuse I can make to be outside, I'm going to make it. So, yeah, definitely. Speaking of outside, I think this goes well with the subject you had in mind. Why don't you let us know what you think we should dive into?
Yeah, well, like you said, speaking of outside, it is summertime, which means that Memorial Day is right around the corner, which means the cookouts are going to be starting. And just because it's summer, just because, you know, we get to wear shorts and may not have to wear a blazer every day, we still have to know how to act at a cookout.
Yeah, I love cookouts myself. You probably know that already. I like to get on the grill or the smoker and get down, you know. But you're right. When people come over or you go to a cookout, a lot of times you see a lot of buffoonery. So hopefully you can help us avoid some of that so we don't end up looking foolish.
Well, me too. So number one, we have to start right at the top with this one. Do not go to a cookout if you were not invited. Okay, and I see some people actually brag about this on social media, how they went to a cookout and got a plate. Don't do that. You know, that doesn't encompass anything about being a gentleman. you know, and you're showing up eating and drinking for free, at least know the people. It's rude, it's tacky, and you just shouldn't do it if you're trying to live this life of a gentleman.
Ooh, I like that tip. And I have been the victim of that several times. People will come over to your house, the backyard, and when you come over to my house, you come around the side. And when I see them come around the side, and I'm like, wait a minute, who's that? They got a whole entourage with them. And
wait, they come with an entourage? People who weren't invited come also with more people that weren't invited?
Yeah, well, what happens is you invite, you know, this has been my experience. You invite a couple people, you know, or a certain person, and that person takes liberties and they say, well, this is, I'm bringing my cousin and this one and that one. Next thing you know, the person you invited comes walking around the corner with like three people. And then, so what I'm doing, I'm counting up the steaks and the hamburgers like, hey, I don't even have enough for everybody. So that throws it off for me. I mean, then I'm not a good host at that point when you just walk up and it's like, okay, who are you and who invited you? But yeah, great tip.
Well, thank you. And I just think that what you said is a perfect reason why people shouldn't show up if they weren't invited. You only bought but so much food for the people that you invited and maybe one extra friend, just a plus one, not a plus three. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. That's why you need to only stick with the people that were invited. And if you want to bring an extra friend or two extra friends, ask the host first. Don't just start bringing extra people.
Hey, you know what? Can I piggyback on that? And if you do show up with extra people, could you guys bring some food with you? I mean, at least, you know, you show up empty-handed, no beer, no hot dogs, not even hot dogs, not even a bag of chips. You know, you just show up with an appetite. It's not cool.
And you know, Rich, that was perfect. And you took the words right out of my mouth. That was my tip number two. You know, whether the host said don't bring anything or do bring something, still show up with something regardless. You know, sometimes you do have hosts that are just like, just come. We're all going to have a good time. You don't have to bring anything. But still, if you're trying to live the life of a gentleman, if you're trying to embody the life of a gentleman, bring something, whether that's ice, whether that's extra cups, whether that's drinks, whether that's extra burgers, even hamburger buns. You know, you don't have to spend a whole bunch of money to bring something. You could bring napkins and plates and that'll still be something.
Yeah, I like that tip. That's great. I think when you show up empty handed, you look kind of like cheapskate. Or even like you said, the host is like, oh, no, we've got it. But still, come with a dessert. I don't think anybody's going to be mad if there's an extra dessert. So that's a great tip. I like that one as well. We're really cooking here, pun intended. Go ahead with tip number three.
And then tip number three, thank the people who invited you. You know, whether you're the initial invitee or if you're the guest of the initial invitee. Always thank your host. It's the proper thing to do. They didn't have to invite you. Again, you ate their food, you drank their drinks, you used their bathroom. You know, you were definitely encompassed in their home, which is, for a lot of people, a private space. So the least you could do is thank the host. And you could even do that walking out of the cookout. You know, thank you so much for inviting me. I really had a fun time. I really appreciate it. And, you know, move on from there. But you should definitely thank the host for the invite.
I like that tip too. Sometimes it goes overlooked, but, you know, being a gentleman, part of that is having good manners, presenting yourself well. And, you know, myself, I have children, so I want to set the example for them, let them see, you know, their father saying please and thank you. So that's a great tip. I like that one.
Well, thanks. And I just wanted to get maybe a tip or two from you, Rich. I know you just mentioned you have a family. So what is your tip for cookout etiquette for those who bring their children?
Make sure the children are well behaved. You know, I know it's usually an outdoor activity, but still, this isn't a chance for the parents to totally not supervise their kid and let the children just run wild in the backyard, because that kind of ruins the experience for everybody else. So, you know, at our house, it's like, you know, I don't rule with an iron fist, but at the same time, I mean, the kids can't take over the whole party. They've got to be under control somewhat. But you have a lot of parents come over. I don't know if you've seen this, and they're just kind of like, kids, what kids? You know, just let them do whatever. And And that kind of ruins the afternoon or the evening for everybody.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like there are more cookouts where it's kind of like, okay, this is not a kid's cookout. I guess just for that same reason. You know, because everybody's trying to have a good time. Nobody is trying to look after a child who doesn't know how to behave themselves when they're out. And then I just also have one more tip, because you are the chef, as you know, when it comes to cookouts, you're the chef, the head honcho. Do not bother the chef of the cookout, okay? And that, seriously, and that includes, you know, don't keep asking, hey, is this done? Hey, is this done? And I did that last year at a cookout and I had to check myself. But, you know, don't keep asking the chef what's going on. At a cookout, it's a free-for-all. We're not at a five-star restaurant where the chef has to tell you when you're getting your food. Let the cookout chef do what he does best. And I can guarantee most people who do the grilling at the cookouts, it's worth the wait. So leave the chef alone. Don't tell him how to cook the steaks or when to flip it over or how it looks. Let everybody just do them.
Hey, I love that tip. And it's funny you mentioned that, because just thinking back, there's always like that one guy who wants to be co-pilot, and he's almost, you know, stepping in there and telling you how to season the meat, and oh, you should have marinated it like this. That's really annoying. And sometimes, you know, I've been to a cookout and I can see that the host or the person that's on the grill is struggling. Maybe they don't have all the skills, you know, that you might have acquired over time. But just let them do what they got to do. I mean, for goodness, it's just hot dogs and hamburgers most of the time. You really can't mess it up that bad. So you don't need to co-pilot or, you know, backseat drive, you know, while they're trying to cook. And then don't hang around the grill trying to beg for the first hot dog or hamburger. Just be cool, lay back, just eat some chips until the food is ready.
Definitely. And I guess to wrap this up, have fun, okay? This is one of the times where you can, you know, maybe unbutton that first button of your shirt. Live a little. Cookouts are supposed to be fun. Obviously, you know, referencing the segment we did on drinking and partying, don't get too crazy, but have fun. Cookouts are fun, and depending on where you live, you only get to experience them 3.5 months out of the year. So enjoy that time. Don't focus so much on, you know, getting dirt on your shoes or you don't have the right blazer on. It's fine. It's a cookout, okay? It's summertime. Live a little.
I think that was my favorite tip, because life is so short and you got to have fun. And that's a great reminder. And you know what? I'm thinking that after talking about this weekend, we're supposed to get some rain in the forecast, but I don't care. I'm breaking out the grill one way or another. You've inspired me. So this is awesome. I really enjoyed this discussion. And you know, there's some great takeaways here for guys and girls that are listening, that, you know, you can always present yourself like a gentleman and people are going to notice.
Absolutely. And I think that's so, so important. So I guess if you want to keep this conversation going, you can always check out our Instagram at Gentlemen's Podcast. And you can check me out at It's DeAndre Marie. And that'll be in the description of our show today. So check it out.
Yeah, that sounds good. And everybody get to grilling this summer.
Well, gentlemen, this has been another amazing episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening just as much as we enjoyed creating today's episode. At the top of the show, Dennis joins Richard as they talk about how to style a suit with sneakers. Since there are no breaks in living the life of a gentleman, Dennis gives tips on the type of suit to buy and how to properly accessorize once paired with the right sneakers. Then, during the gentleman's news, our special guest, Mercedes Fuller, tells Richard about his role of a life coach and the completion of his new book. We wish Mercedes the best of luck and look forward to the book release. Lastly, I join Richard on the segment, A Woman's Touch, to give etiquette tips when attending a cookout. Being that cookout season has started for most of us, we still need to have etiquette and manners when we go to one. Thanks again to everyone who participated in the show, and a very special thank you to our host, Richard. All of the contact information for all of the voices of today's episode is in the description. If you could, please rate and review The Life of a Gentleman. We really appreciate it because it helps us improve our episodes. And until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.